Appreciate you taking time out of your scheduling together with us and have a time of worship. Tonight we want to conclude this will be the 10th sermon, the 10th charge from the Word of God. We've had 9 far around the area of revival. Nehemiah chapter 4 is where we've been drawing the theme for the week, and we've been talking about getting the things that God wants us to get put back in place. And tonight I want to share with you briefly, I've been told it's supposed to be brief. I think Troy is involved with that. But I want to reveal to you that tonight, revival's dark secret. It's pretty simple, really. Revival is something we have to have in church. It's not something we should have in church. You see, in order for revival to be needed, it means there's been a failure. It means what God calls sin has taken place in people. It means that a church has rebelled against God. I don't know how many of you attend. I know we've got a lot of visitors here tonight, folks that I don't recognize. I don't know who normally comes here or not. But you may only be in a church. You may not have always heard the term revival. When you hear a church saying, "We need revival," they're saying we need God to work with us in our sin. Sin is a problem for everyone. Look left. Look right. You're looking at sinners. Look forward. There stands one in front of you tonight. We all have a problem. Sin. It haunts us. And sin puts us in a place where we're in trouble with God. So what's the difference between what we might call a saved man or a saved person? We could go on for hours, but I won't. But it may be easier to start kind of at the end of things to answer that question, to point out the biggest difference. God says that sin requires a payment. God says that sin brings us into condemnation. If you study through the Word of God very much, you find a lot of legal terminology that we still use in our legal systems today. And it all points us to a supreme judge who is God Himself. One day, there will be a judgment on whether you're saved or whether you're lost. There is judgment. Every man, woman, boy, and girl will be judged by God for their actions. If he's better than you, he's lying. You may sit here tonight and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Can I tell you that there is nothing about me better than you? That's coming from a preacher. The Bible tells us all appear before the judge of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. Folks, you want to know why the church does what it does? It's because we've found out from God's Word about this thing of sin and judgment. If all of us will stand before the Lord one day, we really want to persuade men. Because studying that book and studying what God has to say about judgment, I don't want anybody to go there. I don't want anybody to suffer through the things that God says will come on a man that... Other than that, there's not a lot of difference between us. A saved person, and here's where the big difference begins to come in, as an advocate. As you begin to think about the court system, if I had done something against somebody, and there was someone that could kind of help that situation. We used to be youth directors, and a lot of times teens would come to us and we'd tell them, you can change. And we'll be glad to go help you sort it out with your parents, but that's where it needs to be sorted. We'll be glad to go along beside you and help and assist and help you get these things cleared up. We'll help you get to that point. God says there is a judgment for sin. He says, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but for the sins of the whole world. That word propitiation there, appeasing the wrath of God. Christ can be the appeasement for God's wrath for anybody. But unless you're saved, He's not your advocate. Isn't it kind of interesting that the advocate of the person to accept salvation, the advocate, the one that says, hey, I'll come before God in this area of wrath, is the one that can appease that wrath. Not only can he stand up and say, wait, this is why they did what they did, this is what's going on, they kind of serve as that, he serves as that, but he comes alongside and becomes that advocate. And he takes ownership. And he says, Father, you said there must be wrath on sin. I've taken wrath for the whole world. And this one's asked for help. That's where the judgment will be for the Christian. You see, a Christian's judgment took place at Calvary. The judgment of your sin was laid upon Jesus Christ. And He says, I'll take that judgment. He was judged. But I want to remind you tonight that God and Christ, they will not force you. They will not force you to take the advocate. You might be sitting here tonight and you say, I'm not into all this religious. Somebody invited me. I'm sick of listening to them. I'm coming to... So they'll shut up. I understand. Fine. Fair enough. Nobody's going to push you tonight. Nobody's going to force you tonight. And God Himself will not either. You've got to make that choice. But I want to tell you what judgment of the lost looks like. The Bible tells us, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of the things which were written in the books, according to the... It goes on to say, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Can I tell you, that's God's wrath. We're given a glimpse of what's going on in heaven after we die. We found out that every one of us... For the Christian, we have the advocate that stands before God and says, whoa, we've already got this sorted, it's all settled. But for the lost man, you stand alone. You stand alone, and Scripture says the books are opened. And one of those books is the book of life. How, well, you might ask, get in the book of life. Fair enough. That is what we need to know. That is what can save us from wrath. When you hear Christians talk about this word save and lost, we're talking about being saved from the wrath of God. The Bible tells us, for God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He that believeth on Him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. You say, I don't know about all this religious stuff. I don't know about all that Bible stuff. I don't know about those preachers. I don't know about these songs. The Bible says you're condemned already. Condemned. Your sins have sealed your fate unless you have an advocate with the Father. The Bible goes on to say, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Can I tell you, you don't? It's a rhetorical question. There is no escape from God's wrath outside of Jesus Christ. You may have people that will tell you that you can be good enough. That's not what this book says, and this is what we have to go through. You may have people say, well, after you can settle up afterward. That's not what this book says. And this is what we have to go by. Folks, Christians that put on us that we never sin, we got it all worked out, we're so perfect. We're lying. We're failing God right there. There's not a one of us in this room that can claim perfection. There's not a one of us in this room claim to be sinless. But the difference comes down to a choice. And I want to let you know that just because Christians sin doesn't make sin okay. And it doesn't change God's opinion. I've seen a lot of dads that were pretty hard-nosed. But when old Junior grew up, he got into things that Dad was pretty hard-nosed about, Dad's opinion changed. God won't work like that. God's given us the record. He says, this is what I require. And God will not change for anybody. It doesn't matter what we think. It doesn't matter how we feel. Our opinion is irrelevant. And I'm going to go ahead and add this in before I finish tonight. You'll never be able to use someone else as an excuse why you refused. Because you and I will answer to God one on one. You may look at my life, and there's plenty that's in my life that you could point out to be sin. If you knew me a while back, you'd find a whole lot more. But you can't use me for your excuse. You may see people that attend this church on a regular basis, and they may share the gospel with you, and you know that they mess up. You know they go against the things that God says do. You can't use them as an excuse. You won't answer for what they do. You'll be done. It all comes down to the choice. Will you face your judgment, or will you take Christ with you? Choice tonight. Tonight we're going to sing some songs about the Lord. We're going to spend some time worshiping. We've spent the entire week trying to get our hearts right. But can I tell you, the most important thing you could do tonight is to settle with God. We'll change this. It doesn't bother me if we don't play a song. if it'll settle eternity for one soul. But it's your choice. And just pray, but before I do, I want to point out some things in here. Brother Buddy and Sister Smith, would you please stand? Cam and Lauren, would you please stand? Troy and Giselle, would you please stand? You sit here tonight, I want you to look around. These folks, I asked Brother Buddy who he could quickly grab if he needed somebody. Know more about getting saved and making that decision. I don't care who's singing. I don't care what's going on. I don't care if we're praying. Why don't you catch one of these people? These ladies will be glad to sit down with you. Men, these men will be glad to sit down with you. My wife sits right there. Myself, feel free to grab any one of us. Just tap us on the shoulder and say, come here. I will tell you this, though. We cannot save you. There is nothing I can say, there is nothing I can do to rescue your soul out of hell. It is your choice. But why don't you settle it tonight? You can be seated. Thank you. Why don't you catch one of us? We'll try our best to answer the questions. We don't know everything. But we know how to show you from the gospel how you can be saved. Would you settle it tonight? So we get ready to move into our service. Why don't you think about it? Tonight could be the most important decision of eternity. Not your life, eternity. What are you going to decide? Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly, come before you tonight. Lord, we do thank you for this week one more time. Lord, as we bring this time to a close, where we've been allowed to gather together, Lord, to spend time in worship, Lord, to spend time around your word, Lord, to be instructed and challenged in things. God, I pray that you will help us to honor you tonight in the next few moments and lift our hearts up and in that manner. But God, above that, I know that you rejoice at one soul coming to know you. God, I know you rejoice when we worship, but you wouldn't have died on Calvary to get somebody to sing. You died so that we as men, helpless and alone, could have access to you. God, if there is one here tonight, I pray that you will give them the courage to say, hey, I want to know a bit more. And the courage just to ask. Help us, Lord, to please you. God, we thank you and praise you. It's in Jesus' name I come. Amen.